Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them. If you do not have the notes, let's go ahead and pass out the notes for this week. It should be on the very corner. It should say part two on the top corner of the page. Does it say part two?
Yeah.
Okay. We started last week a new core value. And again, these core values are the way a human being is supposed to function on the planet. Do you guys understand why I continually say that? Because we've been masters at segregation in the church, and we wonder why we have no effect on society. It's because we have been allowed to separate ourselves, us versus them, and then we fail to communicate the reality of the gospel the way it actually is recorded in your Bible. Because Jesus didn't just die for Christians, right? He was resurrected for the entire human race. Therefore, the result of that resurrection should apply to the entire human race, and it should affect the entire human race. And that is the reality of the gospel and how we communicate it. And we're going to get into some things today that I hope just either makes you mad or encourages you and rocks your world, because it's time for us to change a culture of what we call the church, folks. Well, don't say amen too quick. I'm going to show you some things today. Our core value is live life engaged in faith's revelation, because how many know that anything that's going to be effective in this, in our environment, in our societies, has to first be originated from the kingdom of God. We have to understand that we have to get our instructions from Him. It's not to say we don't initiate things, but if we're willing to initiate things, He's willing, because He is right there on hand, He's willing to direct you further from that place. So when we talk about we need to get instructions from heaven, we're not speaking of you sit back and do nothing until heaven gives you a word. We're basically saying, look, we understand what our assignment is, and you're going to see it more clear today than I hope you've ever seen it before. And I believe that, you know, like I said last week, this is my favorite core value, just because when the Spirit of God began to show me these things, it completely rocked my world as far as what I understood was the reason why I existed. And I trust that it will do the same thing for you. Look, if we don't make a decision to develop in these areas, then you're not going to be neutral. You're going to go right back to what you knew before. And how many know that we've had hundreds of years of a certain line of thinking that has been continually perpetuated over and over and over and over and over and over in our Christian music, in our pulpits, in our preaching, in society in general, because that's all they've known. Can we just say this, folks? The world doesn't hate Jesus. They hate a product that promises one thing, but we never deliver. They don't like more of the same natural stuff that they already know. So We're going to deal with some things today. Our core value, again, is we are free to be people. Say, I'm free. To be people who develop a lifestyle. Everybody say lifestyle.
Lifestyle.
Now, this next two words are very important. That rests. How many like a lifestyle that rests? Okay, well, let's finish the sentence. Rest in the power of His presence. Rest in the power of His presence. Why do I say that? Because I'm going to talk about some things today, and your natural tendency would be to get all twisted up. And then you want to go out there and try to make it happen. Rest. We rest. Part of our development in this culture is we learn how to rest in this. You don't get all twisted up in it. Because I mean, every time you get twisted up in your emotions, you just shut the pipeline down. There's been scenarios in the past where, you know, in years gone by, where, you know, I wanted to make this happen. So I'd go out there and try to make it happen with somebody, and all I did was get twisted up emotionally, get all stressed out, and walk away, and it was, you know, it was nothing. So understand, I'm prefacing everything I'm going to get ready to say with this. This is a lifestyle that we just develop in as we grow. And you know you're developing in it when you can just rest in it. You don't get twisted up in your emotions, and it just comes out of you just as a normal part of what you are. All right? Everybody say, no stress.
No stress.
Okay. So we're free to be people that develop a lifestyle that rests in the power of His presence, that which faith reveals, because we have to get insight from Daddy's vantage point and then act on that. And every time we act on His vantage point, how many know things just happen? We really have to develop in this, folks, because we've been so used to running on our own heads, our own programs, our own thoughts, our own everything, that we haven't realized that there's somebody else that has a better view than you. So, we rest in the power of His presence, that which faith reveals, unlimited resources at any time, any place, any circumstance. Everybody say, any circumstance.
Any circumstance.
And towards anyone. Now, if you have your Bibles, and you see this in your notes too, but go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. I know that we have taught some of these things in the past. But look, if I'm going up against hundreds of years of a certain thought process, I think if I taught it twice, it won't hurt anything, right? Acts chapter 4, verse 33. It says, and with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. I'm gonna show you some things today that I'm showing you again and again and again, because you associate with folks that don't quite see this. The world doesn't see this, because we really haven't demonstrated this and arrested their attention. And I don't mean to be teaching something that is heresy, and I don't mean to be, because it's not, and I don't mean to be one of those, how many know there are folks that they just try to find something new just for the sake of saying finding something new? It's kind of like trying to find a new business angle. That's not what I'm doing. Because I think once you see this in your Bibles, it's always been in there all the time. It's not something that I'm tweaking or coming at from a certain angle. It's there. It's what it says. We've just been allowed to be taught by natural thought processes. And because we understood it more from the natural side, we just went ahead and went with that message instead. But I want you to understand that being a new creation is not about you resting in your own abilities. It's not about, Jesus didn't need to be resurrected so that we could all just gravitate back to what we know. Right? He was resurrected to create a whole other race of people that understood how to live in his head, not in theirs. So, when we talk about this core value of resting in the power of his presence and learning how to live from that place of that which is revealed from the place of faith, really what we're dealing with here in Acts chapter 4 is that scenario, that environment. It says that great power was, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection. Now, the word power there is, sometimes, you know, we take words for granted and we just read power in our English. I mean, oh, power, yeah, power, power. Ooh. But the word power there is the word dunamis. Let me tell you what it means. It's in your notes. That word, there's different words for power in the Greek New Testament. This one is focusing on the capacity. Everybody say capacity. It's focusing on the capacity or ability. The fact that it's an inherent ability. Now, when I say the word inherent, most don't know what it means unless you go look it up, so I just went ahead and put it in your notes. The word inherent thing means something that is existing in someone or something. What's the next there? As a permanent and inseparable element. Or a permanent inseparable quality or an attribute that's permanent and inseparable. It's essential, the essential character of something or that which belongs to somebody by nature or habit. So this isn't something that we work up. This isn't something that we force. This isn't something that we get all twisted or wrapped around the axle trying to make something happen. I'm stressing that, folks, because that's exactly what folks try to do, and then we just get weird and stupid. The world's done with weird and stupid. They have enough of that of themselves. So it says that great power or a great capacity or ability that was inherent . They were giving testimony, or literally they were giving proof or evidence. Everybody say proof. Or evidence. They were bringing proof and evidence of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now, I've said this before, but it bears repeating. If you read the book of Acts, you will find that the assignment and the understanding of the first century church was they were, everywhere they were to go, they were to bring proof and evidence of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, we're going to touch on some things today. I mean, contrast that to the message of the modern day church, and we wonder why we don't have the same environment. It doesn't look the same. We're not talking about the same stuff. They understood that their message was the fact that Jesus is alive right now. Let me be clear. Right now, right when I'm talking to you, he's alive. In fact, he's right here right now. That was their message. See, the modern day church's message is, you need to believe on a guy that's not here. He's in heaven. But one day he's coming back, and when he comes back, if you don't believe in him, you're going to hell. Don't shout me down. Am I correct? But the first century church's message, let me tell you something. That message that we preach, that message is run through the filter of the Dark Ages. When folks didn't have Bibles, the ones that were reading them weren't even filled with the Spirit. So they just interpreted stuff the way their natural head could get a hold of it. So why would he want to latch onto that and keep it? So, with great power, the apostles were giving testimony of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And abundant grace was upon them. Everybody say upon them. So here's the environment. Jesus spent 40 days after his resurrection, he had his disciples alongside of him. He taught them about the things concerning the kingdom of God all the way up to the day of Pentecost, and then he left. I should say he left 10 days prior. So 10 days later, they're all doing what Jesus said, staying in Jerusalem. The Spirit of God, the promise of the Father, the presence of the Father came upon them, and the world was rocked from that point forward until folks forgot about it. Paul said that was going to happen in his writings, but they're giving witness all along the way of the fact that Jesus is alive. Now, it says that the grace was upon them. Folks, I want you to get this, and I want you to see this. Maybe you've heard me say these things before, but maybe it just hasn't clicked. So I'm going to say these things again. I'm going to show you verses again, because, folks, it's important. If we're going to change a culture in a city, we're going to change a culture in the church world. And it's not just us, folks. It's happening all over the nation and other parts of the world. The Father is fine-tuning what our understanding of the message of grace is. But it's important that we understand if the word's talking about that grace was upon them, that it's not speaking of something that God had toward them. Can you understand the difference? Something being upon someone is not the same as something he had towards you. We're talking about a whole other thing. And it's quite common when you hear folks talk, you really get to understanding that folks really are clueless about this because of the way they relate to that word, the way they use the word in their sentences, the way they talk about it, the way they contrast it with certain other subjects in the word, in the Bible. They really are clueless as to what it really is. But I'm going to submit to you, and go to Luke chapter 4, because we see here in Acts that they were giving, you know, that with great power or great capacity or permanent ability, they were giving witness to the fact that Jesus was alive. And that power, that ability is what is called grace. It's an empowerment. And it was upon them. Everybody say upon them. Now it's very important you understand it does not say in. It's very important you understand that, because we'll read that and we'll think in. It's not talking about in, it's talking about upon. It's different. How many know Jesus had the Spirit of God in him? Right? So then go to Luke chapter 4 and notice what it says about the ministry of Jesus. And Jesus is the prototype. Here's what you need to communicate to folks, because this reality of what Jesus did through the resurrection is, again, it's not just for Christians, it's for every human being that's breathing. Here's what you need to communicate. The fact that Jesus is the prototype of how man was created to function on this planet. Okay? Jesus is the prototype of how man was created to function on this planet. You know why I love saying that? Because natural man looks at all the things they see in the ministry of Jesus and they go, tilt, that's impossible, there's no way. Exactly. Ding, ding, ding. What do we have for him, Johnny? That's exactly the point. But it doesn't change the fact that he is the prototype of how human beings are supposed to function on this planet. And you can't get around that. I don't care what you, how you try to twist it. You can't get around that. He is the prototype. So how did he function? Well, Luke chapter 4 says in verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. The Spirit is his presence, right? I said, right? And news about him spread throughout all of the surrounding districts. And news about him spread through all the surrounding districts. And then he quotes these verses. He goes into a synagogue, he opens up Isaiah, and he reads this. The Spirit of the Lord is in me. Is that what it says? It says, upon me. Now, wait a minute. I thought Jesus already had the Spirit of God. Exactly. But he says it's important for the Spirit of the Lord to be upon me. Isn't it interesting that we've become comfortable with the Spirit of God within, but we are clueless about the Spirit of God upon? When that's the very thing that we have to develop in our lifestyle. Because that's what brings the results. And quite frankly, look at the verses above that. News about him spread through all the surrounding districts. Isn't it amazing that our church culture has told us that it's all about gathering people? I don't know about you, but gathering people is trying to like to herd cats. You kind of, you know, you get one of them and then one runs away and then you can't get all a bunch of cats all in one place unless you got something they want. Right? Otherwise, I mean, I could say my chihuahuas are the same way. Forget it. I let them out of the gate to eat, man. And unless I have food in my hand, one goes one area, one goes in the other direction, and one goes, I mean, I can't keep them all together. So, we have, it's interesting that our church culture has been one of, we got to come up with programs so we can get this thing to grow. Right? I don't have a problem with programs, but let's do that in addition to. What does it say? How did people come to Jesus? He returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through all of the surrounding districts. Now, if you read some of the other writers, they say basically the same thing. He got to the place where he couldn't even go inside of a house because they all would just show up. So he had to go out into the open air where they were at. Why? Because the power of the Spirit was upon him. And he explains it from Isaiah. He says, he sent me to proclaim release to the captive. Now, let's go back and check what he said. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Everybody say upon. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Now, isn't it intriguing that we have taken that word, the gospel, and we just kind of fill in the content our own self? I told you it's either going to make you mad or it's going to set you free. Either one, I guess, is okay. Because the Spirit of God will help you. You know, and folks will be listening to this for years to come. And if this makes you mad, what I'm getting ready to say, then you need to get off the internet and spend time with Jesus and see what he says about it. But I submit to you that how many know the Word of God defines itself? Right? So if we're going to call something the gospel, then it's probably going to tell you what the content of the gospel is somewhere else in the writings, right? So it's not up for our own interpretation. So when Jesus said that the Spirit is upon me to preach the gospel, there must have been a certain message that he was upon him to preach, right? Well, he tells you what the actions look like of his assignment. He said, he sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, or to proclaim the Lord's favor. Now, I have in your notes there Isaiah 44:3, the connection that tells you, he said, I will pour out my spirit on. Everybody say on. Notice it doesn't say in. It says on. I'll pour out my spirit on your descendants. Now notice what he calls it. My blessing. The spirit upon is the blessing. So when we talk about bringing the blessing, if you go to our website and you look at some of the things, some of the in the areas where, you know, we're gonna have this thing up and running completely by January, it's gonna be pretty awesome. But if you go there, even now it looks pretty good. If you go there and read some of the content, how many have been to our website in the last month? You'll see some of the content. We talk about bringing the blessing wherever you are. What are we speaking of? We're speaking of bringing the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God upon you is the blessing. Right? So from this day forward, whenever we talk about it, in any other environment, any other context, when we start talking about bringing the blessing, understand, since you were here, you understand that bringing the blessing is speaking of bringing the presence of the Spirit of God into an environment. So he says, whatever the message of the gospel that he had the Spirit upon him to be speaking, it was proclaiming release to captives, recovery of sight to blind, he was setting free those who were oppressed, and it was declaring the year of the Lord's favor. Psalm 51:11 says that the presence of him is his spirit. The presence of him is his spirit. Why do you say that? Well, because if we're not trained to think along these lines, you won't automatically think this way. So when we read about the presence upon, or the grace that was upon them, you'll interpret it according to common theological thought processes. Even without thinking, you'll do it. Because that's the track that's been laid for hundreds of years. But understand, that's not the track that the Spirit of God laid down in the book of Acts. That's not the content of the quote gospel that the early church understood it was. Their job, their assignment, they knew it was to bring proof or evidence of the resurrection of Jesus. And as words came out of their mouth, the Spirit came upon them, and signs and wonders happened around them to confirm that Jesus really is right here and he is alive. Wow, isn't that amazing? Can you see that? So now I want to ask you a question. Is Jesus alive right now? I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but let's think about it. Okay, so if he's alive right now, was he alive at one point on the planet? Okay, so if he was alive at one point on the planet and he's alive right now, is his message any different? You sure? Because based on what we've seen for the last hundreds of years, it's completely different. Do you find anything that's being said to the populace of folks in what Jesus said his assignment was? Okay, I'll stop being mean. Okay, go to Matthew chapter 4. Let's just look at it. If you don't love me now, at some point in your life you will. Matthew chapter 4. Notice what Jesus said his message was coming out of the chutes. Verse 17. It says, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now notice he didn't just stop with the word repent. How come we have? Repent simply means turn around and go the opposite direction. There's no emotional twisting or baggage or manipulation or none of that stuff connected to that word. It just means have a new thought, turn around and go another direction. Well, how are they going to come and have a new thought? Well, the last part explains that. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, didn't he say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me? Look, since we're in Matthew 4, look at verse 13. This is a prophetic quote from the Old Testament. It says, Isaiah said, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. How many know that's where Jesus was? The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light, and those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, notice what it says. Does it say, in them a light dawned? No. It says, upon them. Everybody say, upon. Upon them a light dawned. Upon them means something came from the inside out, outside in. What did Jesus call it? He called it the kingdom of God is here. That's what came upon them. The kingdom. So in Matthew 4:17, he says, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Or you could say, the kingdom of heaven is upon you. In your notes, there's Luke 4:43. Let's just go there real quick. Luke 4:43. Luke 4:43, Jesus said this. He said to them, hey, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I have been sent for this purpose. Everybody say, this purpose. So I ask you again, has Jesus' message changed? He was alive on the earth, and he's alive now. Has his message changed? The answer is no, absolutely not. It's the same. Was he alive back then? Is he alive now? Message is the same. Understand, folks, that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, so everything Jesus was communicating was not based on a physical event that was getting ready to take place after he was here for 3.5 years. Matthew 4:23. Notice what was the attributes. Now, he talked about this in Luke. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And the result of it being upon him, he was on him to preach the gospel. You could say this. He was on him to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And the result of that is he was proclaiming release to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, setting at free those who were oppressed, and proclaiming the year of the favor of God. How many know that's what the presence / power of God does? It demonstrates the favor of Him. That's why for so many years we've really defined grace by what it does, not what it is. We've defined it as the result of it, not what it is. Because it is the presence of Him which brings the power, the working of His power, the end result of that, when the dust settles, is it demonstrated His favor. And that's what we call the grace of God. It's not true. It's just not complete. So Matthew 4:23, what does Jesus say? What was his assignment? His assignment was to preach what? The kingdom of God, right? The kingdom of God is here. Right? Are y'all with me? Now notice Matthew 4:23. Jesus was going through all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the what? And what was he doing in along with the speaking? He was demonstrating what? The gospel of the kingdom. What's a demonstration of the gospel of the kingdom? Healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Can you see that? Mark chapter 1, verse 21. Go over there. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. Notice what verse 21 says. They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and began to teach. What was he teaching? Well, it had something to do with the gospel of the kingdom, right? That's what the Spirit was upon him to do. And they were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching as one having authority. Everybody say authority. Now, isn't it amazing, and I'm going to put myself right along with everyone else, that you read these verses, and what we come away with is, well, we need to teach the authority of the believer. Because, you know, that is what is brought out in the epistles, because Jesus demonstrated the authority, because he is the prototype of how human beings are supposed to function, correct? But did you ever notice that we teach the authority of the believer without teaching the power of the believer too? So we get folks that they're trying to have authority. So how did these folks recognize the authority of Jesus? Because he yelled? Because he really meant it? Because he raised his voice and was adamant about it? Is that how they recognized that he was teaching with authority? No. They recognized that he had authority because it wasn't just authority. It was the issue. You can't have authority without the power. Did you hear what I just said? There is no authority without the power. The power is what mandates the authority. And so, because general thought process in Christian environments has been completely oblivious to any kind of empowerment that Jesus gave us, it's no wonder that the masses really don't understand the authority of the believer either. They think it's arrogance. It's because there's not one without the other, and their general experience of life is one that, just like the natural man, stuff happens. We just got religious about it and called it the sovereignty of God. You know I'm telling you the truth. Because we're going to try to make an excuse theologically why things are a certain way in life just because our minds have to understand things. That's just the way a human being is wired. We want to understand things. But the fact is they recognize, and you are correct when you answered, you are correct. You're probably some that, you know, there may be some other ones that would say the same thing, but the general thought process may not have been known the answer to that. They understood his authority because it goes on to say that in verse 23, just then there was a man in the synagogue. So understand that what we're seeing here took place before them saying something about this authority. Mark has given us an insight into this is what happened and this is why they said what they said. So there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out saying, "What business do we have? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be quiet and come out of it." Now, did the spirits know that Jesus meant business because he grabbed the guy by the shirt, looked him in the eyes, raised his voice, and said, "Get out of here now"? It doesn't say anything about him raising his voice at all. He just spoke words, but because the Spirit was upon him to preach the gospel of the kingdom and to deliver those who are oppressed, the result was the demons threw him into convulsions, the unclean spirits got all mad, threw a fit, cried out with a loud voice, and came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Immediately the news about him, here's Church Growth 101. Immediately the news about him spread everywhere into all of the surrounding district of Galilee. Now look at Luke chapter 16. Verse 16 is in your notes. Interesting thing that Jesus said. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. But since that time, now what happened? I believe it was 6 months after Elizabeth was pregnant with John. Jesus came on the scene. Well, you know, I say he came on the scene, but, you know, he came into the earth. So they were very close in their proximity of their assignments when they got their assignments as adults. John had been going for a little while longer. In fact, when Jesus was stepping into the fullness of his assignment, John said, he looked at Jesus and he told his disciples, "He must increase, I must decrease." And so notice what Jesus said. He said, the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John, but since that time, the gospel of what? The kingdom of God has been preached. I wonder who by? Jesus. Isn't it interesting, and we talked about this last week, Jesus also made the statement, and this reference is in your notes, Luke 7:28. Jesus said, when it comes to natural men, there's no one greater than John. But, everybody say but. See, when he said but, the least in the kingdom is greater than John. There's a line of demarcation between the old message and the new. So let me ask you a question. He said, up until John, the law and the prophets were preached. Why? That was a message for natural man that natural man could handle. But since him, the message of the kingdom has been preached. Why? Because the prototype of how man is supposed to function on the planet came into the planet. His name is Jesus. And the message is, the kingdom of God is here. And because the kingdom of God is here, the Spirit is upon me to demonstrate the kingdom of God is here. Jesus is the prototype. That's the message. Folks, that message has never changed. You notice that the general environment of much of the thought process, what we call Christianity, still goes back to focusing on the law and the prophets. Now, please understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying we shouldn't read them. I'm not saying we shouldn't study them. I'm not saying that we shouldn't learn some things by the Spirit of God. I'm not saying don't read your Old Testament. I'm not saying any of that, because all of it all wrapped up together with the revelation of the Spirit of God on it is awesome. So I'm not saying any of that. But what I'm saying is, you can read the Old Testament, and if you have no revelation from the Spirit of God, You're going to focus on what you have to do and what's going to happen when this whole thing is over. Has that not been our focus? So that tells you who's been in the driver's seat. Natural man, natural thought process has been in the driver's seat. But that is not the message of A, Jesus when he came into the earth as the prototype of man, or B, after he was resurrected. The message has always been the kingdom of God is here. The difference being, after the resurrection, he worked with them with signs confirming the fact that they were declaring the kingdom of God is here and Jesus is alive. Can you see that? Y'all are a quiet bunch today. Folks, this is what this does, folks. It takes this book. It takes this message that we call the gospel. If you put it right back in its right setting, in its right message, right content, it puts it right back into the environment. This is not for a natural man. They cannot live here. Jesus was trying to communicate to us this. You've got to be born from above to be able to see into the kingdom. You've got to be. He tried to communicate this all along in the writings, in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He was trying to communicate these things. You guys think you know where I'm coming from, but let me tell you how a kingdom person operates. You see the wind on a tree, but you don't know where it goes. But the kingdom, a person that's connected into the kingdom of God, can tell you it's coming and tell you where it's going. He says you don't have the ability as a natural man to see the kingdom of God. Don't go around saying, don't listen to anybody who says the kingdom is here or the kingdom is there. It's not the type of thing that for you to observe with your eyes. The kingdom is here. No. They're all looking for Jesus to take over the kingdom, take his rulership, kick out the Romans, and he wasn't even coming from that place. He said, the kingdom of God is upon you. The kingdom of God is here. It's right here. Now, notice what he said to the disciples. And he said this to the 12. And he also said the same thing to the 70. Notice what he said. He called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons to heal diseases. And he sent them out to what? Nobody wants to answer now. Proclaim the kingdom of God. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God. That's their words. What's their actions? Their actions are, it says he gave them power, gave them inherent ability and authority, since his power and authority are connected, over demons and to heal diseases. Now the word, and it says that to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. Now that word, it's interesting, in the Greek New Testament, the word perform is in the middle tense, which means you participate in the results. Everybody say results. Of your actions. The gospel is a interactive event. So, you've heard the mindset, well, that was just for the 12, right? That was just for the apostles. Well, then why did he send out 70 more people that we never hear much about again? And he gave them exactly the same message and said, Luke 10, verse 1, 2, 8, and 9, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of them. And he was saying to them, whatever city. Notice there wasn't specific cities. Whatever city. So that kind of wrecks the whole. Well, that was for them and this is not for us. Is the city we live in a whatever city? Yes. He said, whatever city you enter. And they receive you, eat what's set before you. He said, heal those in it who are sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So not only was that the message of Jesus, but it was also the message he trained his disciples. Now let me ask you a question. Would he train his disciples one way when he was there, and then after he was resurrected and went up to be with the Father, he'd change the whole thing and say, well, you're on your own to figure out how to do it? Well, no, he was training them in the message when he was on the planet so that when he was resurrected, they would continue with the same exact message, right? So let me ask you this. Would Jesus give us a book that demonstrated a certain message, and that was the only examples he gave was what that message looked like, and then just decide to change it somewhere along the way and say, well, you can figure out your own self how to proclaim the new message without any examples? No. Notice what he says here in Acts chapter 1. Again, these are all verses you've read. You know, nothing, no grand revelations here, but you know what? We've got to continually fine-tune ourselves in these things, otherwise if you unhook a boat from the dock, the wave, the current will just take it wherever it goes. And if you unhook yourself from these truths, you'll find yourself, you've drifted right back to where you used to be, because the main current of main thought in evangelical anything is not this. But yet, you know, I'm not angry, okay? Everybody know I'm not angry? I'm not upset with anybody. I don't have any issues with anybody. But frankly, I don't want to offend the Spirit of God more than anybody else. Right? Because we're developing lifestyles and cultures of honoring not just people, but honoring the presence of Him. It's more important. Right? So notice what he says here in Acts chapter 1. Luke wrote this too. And he's talking about the time when he says, I'm writing this to Theophilus, and I want to explain to you all about what Jesus, what's the next word after Jesus? Began to do. Began to do. Now, what did he begin to do? I'm not talking about his words. I'm talking about what he was doing. What did he begin to do? The Spirit of the Lord was upon me. He went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. That's the doing, because Father was with him. How can we only focus on what he says? We completely ignore the doing part. Notice it says he began to do. That means he's not finished. So the message that Jesus was given as an assignment when he came into the earth as the prototype of man, prior to him physically going to the cross, paying the lien that was against the human race, being raised up 3 days later, and then after he went to be in the presence of the Father, he's still alive now. So the message is still, the kingdom of God is here, because now the king is on his throne. And our assignment is to demonstrate the fact that Jesus is alive right now. The king is alive right now. In fact, he's with me right now. And his kingdom is right here, right now. How do you demonstrate that? Well, go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Look at verse 4. It says, therefore those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. What word did they preach? Their own? No, they went out preaching. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. The crowds with one accord were giving attention. Church growth 101. They were giving attention to what was being said. As they heard, they saw the what? They saw the signs which were being performed. And it goes on to explain what they saw. Unclean spirits were coming out. People that were paralyzed or lame were being healed. And there was much rejoicing in the city. And he talked about it. You can go down to verse 12. It says, but they believed his preaching, the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. So, see, now the message hasn't changed. The kingdom is here and Jesus is king and he's alive right now. Now, two more verses and we're done. You can look at the rest of them on your own. This verse is in your notes that Paul made this statement. He said, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. He wasn't talking to natural men. He was talking to those that were already new creations. So they're already in the kingdom. But to be in the kingdom is not the same as entering the kingdom. We have to understand that what he was talking about, you can't take it out of the context of what took place prior to this, where a guy got healed, turned the city upside down. They thought he was Zeus or whatever in their own religion. They started trying to do sacrifices to him until the zealot religious folks of the region came in and turned their minds against him. But he called entering the kingdom, he called bringing the kingdom of God into an environment, he called that entering into the kingdom. He said, and we have to understand, folks, a lot of times there's going to be lots of pressures surrounding whether we're going to enter the kingdom in an environment that we're in. And it says that's natural. Now look at these two verses and we're done. There's some verses there that show you what he meant by entering the kingdom. What did that look like? Acts 14, 8 through 11. Acts 19, 8 and 11. And then 28, verse 31. But go to Acts 4, 29 real quick. I told you that we talked about, you know, we have this thing called the message of grace. Acts 4. Understand this, folks, that the folks that get this, they demonstrate. It may not be as articulate as what we're bringing out right now, but the folks that get this, what grace is, they demonstrate it. And notice what it says, Acts 4, verse 29, right? It says, and now the disciples came back. They just got put in front of the religious folks who were harassing them, for lack of a better word. And they came back and they were all together and they began to pray and they began to declare these things. And they said, now, Lord, take note of their threats. Notice what they said. Grant that your bondservants may speak your word. What word? The message of the kingdom of God and the lordship of Jesus. With all confidence. Notice what happens while they're doing that. While you extend your hand to what? To heal. Folks, the message of the kingdom, which is the message that we have been put in trust with, and the lordship of Jesus is demonstrated by us being willing to get into those scenarios and bring the kingdom upon someone to set them free from sickness, disease, infirmity, and oppression. That's what the kingdom coming upon someone looks like. Can you see that? Now notice, go one more verse, Acts 14. Go over to Acts 14. Look at this. Now, Acts 4 says this again. Grant that your servants would speak your word with all confidence while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So as we speak your word, you're extending your hands to heal. Acts 14, verse 3. It says, therefore they spent a long time there speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord. Or you could take all the italic words out of your text and see what it says. They spoke boldly upon the Lord, who was testifying to the word. Now, is this word different than the word in Acts 4? Is it somehow a different message? He was testifying to the word of his grace, the word of his presence, the word of the working of his power because of his presence upon you. Because he's alive. Granting signs and wonders be done by their hands. I want to submit to you this, folks. And I trust that it won't hit you sideways. Because I don't believe it will. But some folks that are listening to this, it may hit them sideways. What I'm getting ready to say. But you spend enough time with Jesus and he'll show you that this came from him, not me. The message of the grace of God, if it doesn't include the demonstration of signs and wonders and people being healed from sickness and disease, is not the message of grace. I knew that'd go over well. Have I shown you enough in Scripture to validate what I just said? Because that didn't come from me, it came from him. That's why John, in the explanation of Jesus in John, he said, we beheld his glory, the one from the Father. It was grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Well, that was an explanation of what? Healing after healing after healing after healing after healing. Why have we allowed the message of grace to be turned into something that is completely presenceless and powerless and called it the message of grace, when the very message itself is about his presence upon you and the result of that because his kingdom is here right now, because he's alive. I promise you, folks, the more, and this is why I preface it when I started. We're never going to arrive in this. But you know what? At least let's just make it a lifestyle and get on the ride and see where Holy Spirit takes us. Amen. I was at a Burger King, no, excuse me, Jack in the Box. Don't throw in rocks. I was at Jack in the Box the other day. Not the other day, it's been a while. A couple weeks ago. This guy's in there. He tries to stand up. The guy could hardly even stand up. I was concerned the table was going to break. Because he was putting all his weight on the table in the back of the bench to try to get up out of that chair. And I was going to help him up, and I asked him, are you okay? And he said, well, he says, this is what I get after three back surgeries. And, you know, they just called my name. My food's right there on the counter. I'm like, ah, crap. No, I didn't say that. So he's with another guy, so they're leaving because he's done. I'm thinking, well, shoot. Well, I grabbed my food and went and sat down. I'm watching. They're out in the parking lot. Now, I didn't scarf my food fast. I just ate my food. But by the time I got done eating my food, they're still out there. So I went out there, and by this time, he'd managed to get into his car. And I'm telling you this for a reason, because I'm telling you, you don't have to arrive, or you don't have to see somebody throw their arms up and, you know, dance around completely delivered every time you step out. Just step out. It's not your job. In fact, you saw in the Scriptures, this is not based on your ability anyway. It's based on his ability. But it is based on our willingness. So I went over to the car and I said, hey, does this thing give you pain? And at first, you know, he says, no, no. I'm thinking, you know what, I had back pain. And so I said, oh, he said, it does something. He says, why? He says, because I believe God wants to deliver you from that right now. Now, he's in his car. I didn't ask him to get out of his car. I didn't want to make a scene or cause a, you know, I didn't want to cause a spirit of weirdness to overshadow the whole deal. So what I just said, look, I said, God wants to deliver you, right? And he wants to set you free for this thing. Because he thinks you're awesome. This guy looked at me. He says, well, I believe in God. Everyone's going to say that. So he let me pray for him. And I spoke to the back, and I commanded the pain to go, and I spoke to the ligaments and the joints and everything else, you know, and I spoke to those things. And quite frankly, I just called it done, and I was getting ready to walk away. I go to walk away, and he had hold of my hand. He wouldn't let go of my hand. And he just looked at me, and he said, "Listen, I just want to tell you thank you for doing that. It means a lot to me." Folks, that's all we have to do. That's all we have to do. Our assignment is to bring the blessing to people. I was down at the Kinko's down here. I get copies made every day, every week. I went in there. There's nothing wrong with her. But you know what? The Spirit of the Lord told me to tell this. Tell her something, and I told her something. That's all we have to do, folks. It was a word of encouragement that spoke to her. I don't know what she's thinking. I don't know where she's at in her life. But my job is just to get what I get and say what I get, do what I get. Bring the kingdom, because the kingdom is here. Bring the blessing. That's all we have to do. That's all our assignment is. Why are we trying to make something else up? Yeah, I use the word we. I'm talking about, you know, in general, not people here in the room. But why? When it's been documented evidently, this is what the message is. This is the assignment. This is how we act it out. This is what we say. This is what we do. And this is what it produces. Folks, I'm telling you, and I'm done. Everybody stand up. I'm telling you that this city, when it tastes the kingdom of God, and it tastes the awesomeness of Jesus being Lord, they'll run to Jesus just like they did in the Gospels. So wherever we're at, if you say, "Well, I don't see myself being able to lay hands on anybody," no sweat. But our mouth works. So just go around and lean on your Spirit and just be encouraging to people and say things that you might get from the Spirit of God to lift people up and to give them the blessing. Because how many know that the presence of Him, that's what He would say to people. And you let Him figure out, you let Him mess with the results. It ain't my business. He is alive. The burden of proof's on Him. Amen? Did you guys get anything out of this?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Father, we just bless You and praise You. We thank You. We thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You for Your presence upon us and in us. And we just tell You, Jesus, we're willing. Because what else do we got? We love You, and we want Your kingdom to be manifest on this planet, in this city, every place we go, because You really are alive, and we're willing to give You the room to demonstrate that. I speak to every situation in this room. I speak to every physical body in this room. And I tell you, bodies, you are now a citizen of the kingdom of God. Any areas that hurt, pain, you have to leave. You are not. Anything that's not right in our physical bodies, you can get right, because you're a member of, you're a citizen of the kingdom of God now. And we declare that you're blessed. You're full of the life of God, and that life has saturated your very DNA. And Jesus, we just thank You, because Your kingdom is now the dominating kingdom on the planet, that whatever's wrong is made right, and that You make all things new. And everybody with that prayer said, amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.